Yeah, with me here now is Mark Shuttleworth, well known as the founder of Ubuntu. And maybe you can explain a little bit, what are you now doing at Canonical?
Oh, yeah, I changed jobs. I stepped down from the chief executive officer position and focus now just on our product design and product mix. Jane Silber, who has been with Canonical from very early as chief operating officer, is now the CEO. And Matt Acey's come in as COO. So it's a sort of a small shuffle there. So for me, that's been fantastic because the things that I love are the shape of our product. You know, what impact is Ubuntu going to have when people get it and what can they do with it? And answering those questions is now my full-time job. So I'm a very lucky guy.
So yeah, and you just do really design studies and like that?
Or? I work with the design team. They have a research group, and the research group effectively is doing user testing all the time. So we'll ask a question like, how are people using social networks? And then they'll bring in 20, 30 people, and they'll just give them a PC and just watch how they use them. And we learn very interesting things from that. So, for example, they just published this social networking paper. They classify people into three sort of groups. There are people who use social networking services purely as lurking, they're kind of doorway people. We call them doorway people because they'll stand in the doorway, but they won't actually go into the party. You know what I mean? It's like standing at the door to your house and looking out on the street. You want to see what's going on, but you don't sort of fully go in and participate very much. And then there are other people who we call mirror people. They basically use social networks as a way of reflecting what's going on in their lives. So they'll put all their photos up there. They'll talk a lot about their lives, but they don't talk to anybody. They just, you know, it's just their lives on the web, effectively. And then you've got the network of the party people who effectively just totally plug in. And for them, it's all about communicating with lots of people all the time. And so learning that is very interesting. For me, it's very interesting. It helps us shape the desktop so that people will be more, have a more natural experience doing either of those, you know, behaving in either of those ways.
Now, a big topic is mobile everything. What is Ubuntu targeting now at the moment?
Well, I guess there are a number of different things. One is our work on, for example, the network indicator is designed to make people more comfortable, you know, being mobile with their laptops and from a networking point of view, always knowing where they stand and being able to reliably get online. Another thing that we're doing is working closely with ARM to make sure that Ubuntu works well on a lot of different ARM boards, as well as working with Intel so that all, you know, the Atom stuff works well and so on and so forth. Those are all chips that are going into mobile devices. It's in general, people who are building those devices aren't using Ubuntu the desktop, but they'll use the core of Ubuntu. They'll use like the kernel and all of the libraries and so on. And it's nice for them to know that they can develop software on their desktop and then rebuild that software on the mobile device, and it should just work because it's the same core. But we don't actually have a mobile offering. We don't have an Ubuntu mobile as such, a phone edition or a smart book edition.
Not yet, or?
We're not.
Okay. But there are so tiny little things, smartphones and tablets. Isn't Ubuntu targeting that at all?
Oh, well, I mean, people are using Ubuntu there. But it's not like when we sit down and design the netbook interface, that has to feel right for a netbook. And so it would be confusing if we said, okay, we have to have one interface that will work on a phone and a netbook and a desktop. So we at the moment, our focus is the netbook and just working well within those constraints. But people are using Ubuntu to build all sorts of devices. For example, the little, I don't know if you've seen the little bedside tablet. It's a very cool little device, and that uses kind of the core of Ubuntu in the heart. So,
Yesterday I learned it's also running on the Beagle board. It's also just the tiny little hardware, and you can build up things.
Yeah. It's incredible how powerful those little processors are becoming now. The plug computer from Marvell is just very cool. It's literally a plug, and it's got a plug, power plug interface on the one side, and an Ethernet interface on the other side. And you plug it in, and it's a server. You know, it's like a little home server. Draws nothing. You know, virtually no power. and people are running all sorts of amazing things on them. So, yeah.
And maybe touch screens are coming to the netbook. Will Ubuntu respond to that?
Yeah, so in 10.04, we enabled a lot of the touch hardware. And so you can do stuff like finger painting and so on with Lucid. The next step really is to look into gestures. And so either in 10.10 or 11.04, we'll incorporate gesture recognition as well.
So Ubuntu is built upon Debian. How is the collaboration with the Debian team?
Well, the picture's a little more complicated than that, because if you think of Debian, it's an aggregation of tens of thousands of different pieces of software with different maintainers. And ultimately, it's much easier to talk about your relationship with any one of the maintainers than it is to talk about your relationship with the whole. We invited the DPL, for example, to UDS, and he came, he gave a great talk, he expressed a real desire for better collaboration, which is fantastic. It was really heartwarming to see. There are lots of good programs that run now in terms of sharing bug reports, in terms of sharing information, sharing workload, and so on. In many cases now, Ubuntu people are actually the maintainers of the Debian package, or we're packaging versions before the Debian guys do, so at least when they get to do it, we've gone through a transition before. But, you know, it's a bell curve, and there are people on extremes on both sides. You know, there are still people who think that Ubuntu is, you know, terrible and has stolen Debian's thunder. I hope that's not true. I hope that actually what we've done is we've really broadened the base of people who are using a Debian-based system every day. There are lots of maintainers now in Debian who started as Ubuntu maintainers. There are lots of people who use Debian who started using Ubuntu. So, you know, it's a relationship that's important.
But Ubuntu is one of the major and well-known Linux distributions. I think, it's one of the popularest. How does it feel to start such thing?
It feels like a big responsibility, right? Because the role of the distribution, to my mind, the role of the distribution is exactly that. It's distribution. And a lot of the work that's being done, a lot of the brilliance is in other communities. It's in Firefox, or it's in the kernel, or it's in Pulse Audio, right? And so trying to reflect that work faithfully in a way that is cohesive for millions of users is a big responsibility. It's a responsibility to the upstream, to the developer, and a responsibility to the user. Sometimes those things aren't necessarily easy to reconcile, right? Users say, I can't use this, you have to change it. So we change it in a way that upstream doesn't like. There are all sorts of complexities in that relationship. But fundamentally, the scale of Ubuntu, I see it as a responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And maybe a personal question which fit here. Everywhere you are, there is a big crowd like here, or you fill holes. And what is it like to be such a star in the open source community?
Oh, you should ask Linus. Any of the
There are many. So, but every person is a little bit different, and Linus, don't go to so much events. So you are here now, and everyone is taking photographs and taking videos and uploaded.
I thought they were filming you. What's this is crazy.
Yeah.
It's lovely to meet people, and so I'm happy to be here. I think what I can do in the Linux community is get the message out to people who haven't already heard it. So to the extent that people want to meet a cosmonaut, you know, it's an opportunity for me to tell them about free software. So we trade. They learn about cosmonauts. Well, I tell them about cosmonauts, and then I also tell them about free software. So,
but I thought it was called a little bit different. So you're from Africa, and I think they called it Afronaut.
Afronaut, maybe.
Maybe. Something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there are some manufacturers like Dell, for instance, who put Ubuntu on their systems, but that's not so much. So what are you going to do in the future to maybe put them more effort in it?
Well, really, that's a question of building the confidence of literally hundreds of product managers in companies like Dell. whenever a decision, whenever a company like that ships a range of products in a particular country, that decision is taken by a product manager. And that person has to be confident that the plan they make is going to work. And so what we've seen with Dell is that they started shipping Ubuntu on very few systems, and they're now shipping it on lots. And it's not just one kind of system and millions of it. It's lots of different kinds of systems, which means lots of different people have slowly gotten comfortable with actually making a project plan that includes Ubuntu. And if we screw up and they get to the factory and the factory is making machines and the machines get to the part of the factory where they install the software and there's no software to install, it's very expensive. It's like hundreds of thousands of dollars a day. So it's quite serious. You know, we have to convince people that we actually will be there, that we'll show up with software on the right day and do it well. And it's not necessarily always easy to do. You know, you're trying to make Ubuntu work on machines that don't yet exist when you release that version of Ubuntu. But slowly, confidence is growing. Dell ships a lot of Ubuntu today. Acer has shipped Ubuntu. Lenovo has shipped Ubuntu. So I do believe that we can get to a time where, you know, you can literally buy any PC and you can choose to have it with Ubuntu. And that's our goal.
Would be great. But the netbooks, it's a thing really fit for Linux because there's a UI which really fits, but the most are sold with Windows again.
Yeah, familiarity is a very powerful force. All I can say is that the trend is for the trend of Linux volumes shipping is bigger than, and the growth in that trend is much bigger than the growth in the total of number of computers shipping, which means that every year more and more computers as a percentage are shipping with Ubuntu and Linux. The critical challenge for us now is to improve the quality of the experience that people have so that isn't a sort of a seen as a cheap option or a fake option, but that it's actually something that people are genuinely really excited about. But I think we'll get there. I'm pretty confident.
Okay. Ubuntu made Linux, let's call it visible to ordinary people. I was on a party some weeks ago, and a non-geek girl had Ubuntu on the laptop, and that's really fascinating. Was this the vision when you started Ubuntu?
Yeah, absolutely. Remember our tagline, Linux for human beings, and the vision was really to say, okay, let's figure out how we get free software to a much wider audience. So to the extent that we've been successful on that, I think the whole team, everybody's the community is tens of thousands of people, and I think they're very proud to be part of that community because it's meaningful. The time that they spend on it is meaningful to so many people. There's a lot of pressure to get things done and get them done right. But I'm also conscious of all the people, you know, who've never heard of Ubuntu or who don't have the confidence to try it. So there's still lots of work to be done.
Okay, what's the vision for, or what's your vision for the future with Ubuntu?
So on the desktop and netbook, the future has got to be to deliver the most usable, stable, reliable, beautiful system to beat Windows, and to bring to the front the innovation that's at the heart of open source. You know, open source should result in a lot more innovation just because people are free to innovate. But often that innovation doesn't actually land. If that innovation doesn't actually land on people's desktops, then it's not reaching its full potential. So by growing the user base of Ubuntu, by growing the user base of people who are comfortable with Linux, we grow the addressable market for your innovation effectively. If you have a brilliant idea, you can get it to more people just by telling them one thing, you know, apt-get something. That's my mission.
And yeah, you choose open source when you started. So what is fascinating about open source, or why did you choose to build a Linux distribution?
I was very conscious of how the role that open source plays in innovation. If you look at the really interesting things that have been done in technology over the last 15 years, most of them have been done with open source. And that's not accidental. It's because it is a platform that is fundamentally more malleable. But I wanted to lower the friction, lower the barriers to other people getting access to that, and hence Ubuntu. You know, we want to work with Debian because I think there are values in Debian that are very powerful, important values around quality and ownership and doing things right. But we also have a narrower mission, and so we couldn't do that inside of Debian. It had to be done sort of alongside. And I think it's worked out okay.
How will Ubuntu look like, for instance, in 5 or 10 years? I know it's
amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a time of really great innovation in user interfaces. We have Android, we have Chrome, we have MeeGo, you have GNOME Shell, you have Unity, you have KDE 4, and there's real innovation there. We will bring together the things that we think deliver the best experience out of the box and install that by default. And then we'll have everything else in the archives so that people can use Ubuntu and can experiment with and learn from all of the others as well. Because just because we like one doesn't mean that everybody's going to like one. So it's hard for me to tell you exactly what it's going to look like. Other than that, if I looked, someone did a tweet the other day where they said, okay, they put up an Etherpad and they said, let's make a list of all the things that are better in 10.04 compared to 8.04. And the list is amazing. Actually, when you read that, you realize just how fast and how dramatically it's improved in just 2 years. So that's something to be proud of.
When will be the next version out?
10.10.
And when the date?
Oh, 10.10.10.
Why that?
Because 101010 is 42, which is the answer to life, the universe, and almost everything.
Okay, and my last question is also a little bit personal. As I said before, you're from South Africa, and now there is a Soccer World Championship. Are you watching the games?
Yeah, so yesterday's game, South Africa drew with Mexico. What the? That was like edge of your seat kind of stuff. Yeah. It is.
They almost won.
Almost won, yeah. But 1 point.
Yeah, at least.
1 point. So it's fantastic to be watching South Africa play. It's also great to see South Africa, so visible because it's a wonderful country. And it's kind of the gateway to the rest of Africa for a lot of people from Europe or from other countries. So if you haven't had a chance to go and experience a little bit of Cape Town or a little bit of South Africa or a little bit of Africa, I would encourage you to get out there. I'm going not this week, but next week. I'm going to a little country called Sao Tome, which is a tiny little island republic off the west coast of Africa that nobody's ever heard of. But it's really quite magical and beautiful. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for having you here, Mark.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much for your questions.
Yeah. Thanks. So.